and we educate the players. The clubs, we take that responsibility on the clubs. We provide private medical insurance for players. We've organised a pension scheme for players. We look after the ex-players who are on hard times. Now, in a perfect world, you know, you wouldn't need unions, but then it's not a perfect world. And in the same way, we take over all those responsibilities from the football clubs. But what was really interesting when we had our battles, they said, look, the PFA doesn't spend every penny in Scotland. Well, no, we tend to save for a rainy day because I think, you know, that's how you do look after your assets. Because, as David knows from hospital and our community activities, there's always some scheme you might need to think about for the future. So it's interesting, really, that, you know, that was their philosophy. And at times, the spreading of things is now looking to be even more diminished because they're looking for a Premier League, virtually Division 2. So the distributions on solidarity are giving the Championship £3-4 million per club, and the likes of the Division 1 club, 300,000, a Division 2 club in the region of 150,000 to 200,000. And yet, when you think that those very same clubs like your Chesters, found Ian Rush, your Scunthorpes, found your Kevin Keegan's, your Bury, found your Neville Southall's, I just think one of the good things about this country and the way we've encompassed the arrival of foreign players is the way we've always had a solidarity towards those small town teams. And that's why I have to say, just in closing, finance, yes, but when you're talking sport, try and make sure you use that finance to give everybody an equal chance of succeeding. And try and make sure that if you're in sport, you allow a dream factor that sees, you know, Wimbledon come from nowhere and win the FA Cup. Because if you lose that dream factor, you lose the real essence of sport. Thank you.